The second Sunday of Lent is all about the transfiguration, which could be called a metamorphosis. A metamorphosis. It's a Greek word, meta means change, morph is the form. The form of Christ changed from human to utterly divine, as bright as the sun. This happened on Mount Tabor to prepare them for another mountain, Calvary. As Pope Leo the Great said, this event for Peter, James and John, the backbone of the apostolic band, was to give them courage, lest fear vanquish them and take away their faith on Good Friday. On this occasion, our Lord unveiled his humanity and shone through his divinity. This is also called a theophany, means a manifestation of all three persons of God. Christ is the Son, the voice from heaven is the Father, and the cloud is the presence of the Holy Spirit. All three persons are present to announce the death of the Lord, which is symbolically represented by Moses and Elijah. Moses, the Torah, the book of law in the Old Testament, and Elijah represents the prophets. The prophets and the Lord predicted the coming of Christ, how he would suffer and die. And they're discussing this in the presence of the apostles, so they can pick up this is all meant to come to pass. And then, of course, Peter goes into ecstasy. Ecstasy is a funny word. It means stepping out of yourself into a zone of utter joy. Ecstasy. People try and pop a pill to give them that joy. Others seek it through physical pleasure. But ultimately, it's a reality of the Spirit. And Peter foretastes that. Now this is a glimpse into heaven. Notice, he sees Christ in his glory. Heaven is God in glory. He's in the presence of God, and what does he want to do? Pitch camp. Let's just put up three tents. In other words, I don't want to go anywhere else. This is utter ecstasy. My soul is so fulfilled. I never want to leave. Make our camp here forever and ever and ever. You will never be bored in heaven, and heaven will be one moment of long, ecstatic joy. It won't be long because there's no future. There's no past. It's only the now. And you will be in his presence. Notice too that Peter is with James and John, the three of them. And he says, let's build a campsite for yourself, Lord, Moses, Elijah. Let's keep this moment together. He doesn't think of himself, nor of the others. Why? Because in heaven there's only the intimacy with God. It's utter love, and love is giving, never taking. It's being selfless, not selfish. So he doesn't need to think of himself because he's so absorbed in the reality before him. And of course, this moment would go, pass, and would come down off the mountain, and their ministry would continue to another mountain, Calvary. We need to have moments of ecstasy, joy in our spiritual life, lest fear overcome us. And we pull back. Now fear is one of the emotions. It's a good reality in that sense. Emotions are neither good nor bad, depending on what the object is before. But fear in the Greek phobia is a withdrawal because there's an imminent danger, because there's something that's not yet here, but it could be soon, and it's going to make me pull back. Yesterday I saw on the garage door, not here but elsewhere, a very large red-backed spider. It's already nearly an inch long. It's a massive one. Well, maybe I'm exaggerating an inch, but it's the biggest I've seen. There's this big text that read down the back. I don't know who you are. I know it's to avoid you. So I pulled the hands up away from the door. I pulled back in fear lest I be bitten. And sometimes, spiritually speaking, we pull back from saying, I'm a Christian, I'm a Catholic. Alright, yeah, I accept the Pope's teaching because we're afraid he might be unpopular. Or it's just not the darn thing. If you ever want to destroy a nice luncheon at the barbecue or gathering and you're having pre-dinner drinks or something, just bring up the name of Jesus Christ. And all of a sudden this person here will freeze, this one will become irate, someone else will become cranky. You can talk about Moses, Abraham, but you can't talk about the Lord in a neutral context because he cleans apart time and also heart. And people today don't really want to hear his name. He's no longer the popular person he was back in the 50s. In fact, to be a Catholic today, going to Mass is not a popular thing to do. And people pull back and they want to be known, they become fearful. We don't want to become like that. We want to know that will remain steadfast. And therefore, the moments of spiritual joy, we've got to feast upon them, think about them, so that fear doesn't conquer our hearts. And so often, too, people are fearful of the Lord because they're fearful of the unknown. Who isn't? We're afraid to go where we have not yet gone, or where others have gone and perhaps returned. And because 90% of the Catholics in the Church don't really know their faith and not practicing, it's all unknown territory. And before faith or religion is brought up, science dominates today. We don't believe in those myths of the medieval times or what we used to believe in. We're technologically advanced, Father. We have science on our side. We don't have to believe those things. Rather, an either-or scenario. When people do that, just remind them that many of our great scientists were Christians and believers, Catholics, Einstein, Isaac Newton. The faith and science aren't opposed at all. In fact, they go side by side. One deals with the physical world, one deals with the spiritual world. One deals with the material world, one deals with the immaterial world. One's concerned with the body, the other's concerned with the soul. And both deal with facts. One are natural facts, the other are supernatural facts. One can see, the other's unseen. Just because they're unseen doesn't mean they're not relevant or that they're not real. There's many unseen real realities out there. And faith is part of that. So never think it's an either-or scenario, nor ever be dismissed because, oh, well, religion teaches. Always separate from the minds of other people fake religion from factual religion. This on television, certain gurus claiming to heal this person, fix that one. I don't know how to judge these people, but often they're fraudulent, they're not authentic. We don't buy into nonsense. We don't buy into magic. We don't buy into working God like a Santa Claus. We believe in the facts of faith, built upon reason. And it's more than fables. It's more than myth. In fact, it's solid. And we should believe in the articles of the Creed, the teachings of the Catechism. And these are the facts that stand before us and give us witness. Witness to the truth. Even though the truth today, people are sceptical of, remind them there's many things in this world that science and medicine can't explain that actually do happen. Just point out that in Guadalupe, the most visited religious shrine in the world for Christians in Mexico City. That image there in Guadalupe, that image of the 16th century is inexplicable to science. The natural, material, physical world can't explain that image because one, it was put on cactus fiber, which should have disintegrated 50 years after it came to be. And secondly, they don't know what caused, and still don't know, what caused the imprint on the cactus fiber because it's not trained. They don't know what it is. Google it, check it out. It's one of those enigmas. Or the shroud. The shroud kept at Turin and Northern Italy. It baffles science. I think they've got it, oh, but they haven't. There's images there that just defy them. So the shroud, the image of Guadalupe, these are there before the world to remind them that there is an unseen world, there is a world of faith, there is a spiritual world that we ought not to dismiss. I didn't remind them too that on the 27th of April, another fact of faith is that Pope Francis will declare John the 23rd and John Paul the 1st as saints in heaven. Yes, there is another spiritual world we call heaven, and these two have made it. They've got their gold medal, they're in there. They've got their halo. Because we have gone through rigorously certain miracles. A miracle for a deceased person is a stepladder into heaven. Because we believe that they in heaven have interceded for people on earth. When you pray during Mass, you can petition God for your own needs, a petitional prayer, but intercessory prayers when you're interceding for other people. Saints in heaven do care about us on earth, and they do intercede for us in dire straits, dire circumstances. And when someone is miraculously healed, and the church investigates that, that's guaranteed. We can't answer that at a medical, scientific level. We're not talking here about a certain healing in a poo somewhere, but something that's been scientifically checked. We don't have an answer to it. And one of the great miracles that will make, well, has made John Paul II a saint to be, or a saint in the making, is the cure of Sister Mary. Sister Mary is now about my age, early 50s. She's living in southern France, and she'll have a front row seat, I'm sure, at the canonisation of John Paul II in a few weeks' time. She, in her 30s, picked up the same disease that took out John Paul II, Parkinson's. Her limbs started to freeze up over years, and eventually her face and her hand ripened to shrink. And she was almost bedridden. She was just, she's on all the drugs, gone all through the medication, but it was just becoming worse and worse and worse. She was slowly being frozen out, the muscles were just not functioning as they ought. Anyway, the conference began in Novena to John Paul II, who had died, asking his intercession from earth to heaven. And they started the petition. She went to bed one night, woke up the next day, cured. Her handwriting had turned back to what it was. She could do what she couldn't be doing for. Wasn't able to do for years. They brought in her petition. He was dumbfounded. He said, what have you done? Have you doubled the medication? What have... Nothing. She's off the medication now. A neurosurgeon came in. A psychiatrist came in. In other words, all of the professionals and the specialists checked her out, and at the end of the day, there's a big question mark. We don't have a medical answer for her health. We just don't know what has happened. She had Parkinson's, she has double. We leave it up in the air. And that's all they can do, because they're honest. They have to admit, we don't have an answer. At a medical, physical, scientific level, there's no answer. At a faith level, there is an answer, and that's God, through John Paul II, has healed Sister Maria. So, please remember, at difficult times and in difficult conversations, remind people of Guadalupe, the Shroud, or Sister Maria. A few examples like that help them stop and think, maybe there is another world out there of facts of faith. This is built upon our facts of faith during Glen Phillip. We don't become fearful when we are being confronted, and that we too might be like Peter, James and John, beloved children of the Lord. Praise to Jesus Christ.